If you're beginning your retirement savings journey in your 50s, here's what you can anticipate and the actions that you may need to contemplate. Today, we dig into 8 things to know to begin saving in your 50s for retirement right after this.
And now, Wealth Health Radio with Joe Murphy.
Hey, welcome in. Wealth Health Radio is the program. I'm Steve Siddall. Joining me, as always, Joe Murphy. Joe, an independent fiduciary advisor. Murphy Wealth Management is where you find him. He's been helping folks for more than 20 years, getting to and through retirement, and so much more. Hi, Joe.
Hey, Steve. How are you doing, buddy?
Very, very well, thanks. I like this. I thought it was an interesting segment when you take the approach of, you know, when you hit your 50s, that really is when, you know, the panic begins. And so my thought is to, you know, calm that a little bit. And if you've been slow to start, and if you're in your early 50s, it's okay. Right?
Yeah.
If you're willing to have the discipline and the sacrifice to pull it off, you can do it.
You know, and I think there's a lot in this boat that are trying to either play catch up or begin savings because there's so many, you know, news flashes out there. What's going to happen with Social Security? What's going to happen with Medicare? And we're starting to realize that the onus may be on us. So there is a little panic out there, but it can be done. And I think this is great to kind of go through some things that you can actually control to improve your potential outcome for retirement. So I am excited to go through this. I think it's a really good idea, and I think our listeners will get a lot out of this show.
Sure. Well, and again, so if you're just embarking on that journey, we've got some things to think about. Obviously, when you turn 50, the big deal is you've got catch-up contributions that you can make.
Yeah.
And they're pretty substantial.
They are. And, you know, for 2024, your IRA contributions, you're getting an extra $1,000, which means you have $8,000 in 2024 to contribute to either your IRA or your Roth. Now, remember, your Roth is going to have income phase-outs, and depending on where your income level is, you might lose a little bit of that tax deduction on the traditional IRA. But you have that extra grand. Here's where I really love the catch-up, Steve. For our workers and those that have corporate jobs and access to an employer-sponsored retirement plan, when you're over age 50, you get an extra $7,500 in addition to the 2024 max limit of $23,000. So that gives you a grand total, Steve, of $30,500 in 2024 that you can sock away.
Wow.
And a quick alert here. We always talk about the SECURE Act and the SECURE Act 2.0. Starting in 2026, Steve, if you're 50 years or older, you're going to be divided into two groups. Those that love Neil Diamond and those that don't. No, just kidding. The IRS doesn't have a sense of humor. So
I was going to say, that's a new one on me. I love it.
I just saw that movie, What About Bob? And I love that line.
Yeah, sure.
By Bill Murray. But anyway, so if you're making less than $145,000, you can contribute your normal catch-up pre-tax. But if you're over $145,000, your catch-up must go into Roth, which I think is absolutely fantastic. The high-income earners now can sock a little bit more into that tax-free Roth 401k. So I love this. Oh, just a quick exception here. The simple plan, all the retirement plans are $7,500 catch-up, but the simples are only $3,500. And guys,
okay,
the proof's in the pudding. So I ran a couple hypotheticals just to let our listeners know what catch-ups can do from age 50. So if we take the same amount of money, just a starting balance of $250,000 at age 50, we have one person that makes no contributions over a 10-year period, just market returns. Their end result from 2010 to 2020 is $795,000. That's no additional contributions, no catch-up, just letting the market run. You'd have a little bit shy of $800,000.
That's nice.
Yeah, but if you make the max contributions every single year up to the IRS limits, the second person with the $250,000 starting balance making those additional contributions, you'd have $1.1 million. So fairly substantial by just contributing. Here's where the catch-up comes in. If you made your max contributions from age 50 to 60 plus the catch-up, you'd be sitting at a $1.3 million balance.
Man. Sounds fantastic.
It's just, guys, look, you know, we don't know what's going to happen next. We can't control legislation. We can't control tax code, but we can control our savings level. And we've talked about that previously on many shows before this one. And we want to control the things that we can control. And that is a biggie, your savings level. The SECURE Act has really given us room to save. Take advantage of that. And if you need help, we are here to help you.
800-930-5905. That is the number. We're talking about IRAs and the Roth IRAs. I just told you, I had two grandkids here at the beach over the weekend, and the 20-year-old, we were sitting there, and she just looked up at me, and she said she had just gotten paid, and so she was looking at her pay receipt. And she looked at me and said, "I hate my IRA." I said, "Why?" She said, "I watch this money in there, and it just keeps going, and I can't take it." I said, "You're right." And she goes, "And now my dad made me open a Roth."
Oh, yeah.
I said, "Your father is a very smart man."
He is indeed. And, you know, we try and get the youngsters as young as we can, even for our business owners. There's a, you know, an ability to get your kids into that Roth IRA. So there's ways to get in, but it's a gold account. I mean, it's just a beautiful tax-free account that the IRS cannot touch as long as you meet a couple of requirements. But the younger that you start, the more you get that power of compounding and tax-free on the way out. It's just a beautiful account.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Anyway, so that was the one financial conversation I had over the weekend. It was fine. It was good. I loved it when she just out of the blue brought that up.
You know what? That's par for the course with the youngsters, and you got to love those. It's endearing. But you know what?
Yeah.
You got to help. You know, you got to show them the way, and that's what we try and do with interns, with kids that we know, is just try and get them focused on finance and focused on the things that they can do with that time and that long runway that they have ahead of them.
Well, and if you're in that category of maybe you're starting a little bit late, you're thinking I need to be a little more aggressive or a lot more aggressive, is that a good idea?
It can be. And look, okay. You know, let's look at the S&P's average return. We're looking at 12.68% over the last 10 years in the S&P 500. And NASDAQ is a steaming 20.9% return over the last 10 years. And that's annual return averaged out. You know, exposing your money to equities in the market or even the indexes, you have the best chance of really ramping up in a very fast manner. However, that also comes with risk. And just remember, timing is everything. It always is. And you can't control when you start ramping up or when you get aggressive. We don't know what's going to happen with the overall market. So you have to make sure that whatever money you're allocating aggressively, it has a purpose and you have your risk tolerance set for this account. I have no problem with clients, you know, trying to play catch up, getting a little bit more aggressive, as long as it's not their only source of supplemental income in retirement. I think it was Shakespeare's play, was it Julius Caesar, where he came out with that famous phrase, "Timing is everything," and boy, that couldn't be more perfect when it comes to investing.
Absolutely. And, you know, the other really sort of problem that you might have is you're not going to have the long time compound interest. But there are ways to essentially build that in, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit about compounding interest.
You know, sure.
Yeah, it's the eighth wonder of the world, according to Albert Einstein. And I love what he said. He said, "He who understands it earns it. He who doesn't pays it." And that is perfect for compound interest. And, you know, I always talk, like we were talking about the youngsters and getting them educated a little bit. But compounding interest is a real good learning starting point for young kids. And, you know, you try and make it simple and sometimes fun when you're explaining compounding interest. And simply put, compounding interest is just the when you earn interest on both the money that you have and the interest that you've already earned. So, Steve, if I give you a choice, I give you a coin and I say, "Steve, with this coin, you can either get this bag of cookies for me right now, or I'm going to give you increasing percentage if you hold on to that coin for a period of time." Now, it's a judgment call, and this is what we all face. Do we want the instant bag of cookies, or do we want the magic of compounding interest and earn interest on that interest? It is a phenomenon, and it's why we see such massive growth over time, even with lower rates of return. So it is a wonderful thing, but you have to have your money exposed to it in order to take advantage of it. So for me, compounding interest is one of the starting points when we educate our younger clients on why you want to save, why you want to take advantage of that long runway. And sometimes it clicks, sometimes they go with the bag of cookies.
And again, folks, give Joe a call. It's 800-930-5905. So again, shorter time, but we also maybe have to think about reassessing when we're going to retire. Maybe it's okay to work a little bit longer.
Yes, and think about the environment that we're in right now, Steve. You know, rising costs of goods and services, housing prices, you know, we hear about wage growth, but it's a really tough time to get out there and really look and say, all right, can I make it? And I think for people that are 60 or younger, this is their first real experience as financial decision makers dealing with this type of environment. And when you're looking at an environment where there's inflation and there's rising prices and where gas prices and everything is costing a little bit more, you may have a reassessment and saying, you know what, maybe that magic number of 65 needs to be pushed to 68. It's not fun to reassess, but so much better, Steve, than making that snap decision and saying, I've had it with work, I have enough money saved, I'm going to go just blaze my trail. You want to take advantage of planning. And that's the really important thing that we want to get across. You have to plan. And I think it's like 1 in 8 people who retired this past year, Steve, 1 in 8 went back to work within 60 days of retiring, realizing very quickly and thankfully that they could not retire, that they needed to go back to work. So 1 in 8, it doesn't sound like,
wow.
You know, yeah, but I mean, look, it's out there. You have to have a plan to retire. This is not something, guys, that you want to wing and look at your pile of money and say, you know what, I'm going to make it. I know I am. I'm good.
Well, and folks, now's the time to make a plan and come on in and see Joe and the team.
Yeah, absolutely, guys. And we're going to do that offer again this week. So next 10 callers to the show, we're going to have an offer this week that's going to knock your socks off. Steve's going to give you our number in a minute. And when you call, you're going to be connected to our friendly reception and they will schedule a 15-minute introduction call with me. So maybe you have one question or maybe you want to take advantage of our complimentary review that's going to include a Social Security election analysis on both benefit timing and also the potential risk of benefit reductions. We talk about Social Security risk score. Also, we are going to get you an investment or portfolio review to help target your holdings towards your time horizon and understand and define the purpose of your account. And then finally, guys, we are going to offer that tax efficiency. The year 2026 is fast approaching, and the time to plan is now, especially when it comes to tax strategies. So, Steve, I can only take 10 this week. So, guys, pick up the phone, dial the number, and begin your journey to a brighter retirement future. Steve, my guy, give our listeners that magic number to call.
You got it, 800-930-5905. It's a great way to really review your individual circumstances, and Joe's going to do that no cost, no obligation. So take advantage of this complimentary review by calling us right now, 800-930-5905, 800-930-5905.
When we come back, we're going to continue with the final four things to know when you begin saving in your 50s for retirement right after this.
Welcome back. Wealth Health Radio is the program. Joe Murphy's here. I'm Steve Siddall. We are really going through a good segment where we're talking about if you're late to the party, so to speak, and you're in your early 50s, there are ways and there are strategies that you can really have the kind of retirement you want, and that's what we're going through here. And we're going to talk now about maximizing your Social Security. You were kind of touching on that when we were going into the break.
This is so important. You know, the majority of retirees, Social Security is going to represent between 30 to 40% of your lifetime income throughout retirement. This is a really critical decision, guys, and something you do not want to leave to chance. I highly encourage, and there are so many different election strategies, and maybe your unique personal situation may come into play, but I encourage our listeners here on AM 560, if nothing else, get a Social Security analysis completed. And one of the things that we do here, it's a two-parter. Number one, we can run that Social Security risk score. And this is free of charge and complimentary just to our listeners here on AM 560. how at risk are you for potential reductions in 2034? You know, we talk, Steve, ad nauseum on this show about what's going to happen when the Old Age and Survivors Trust Fund depletes to zero. We've had a little bit of rumblings in Congress, but what are they really going to do? Remember, payroll taxes is only covering 77% of the payable benefits right now. That 23% that's coming out of that trust fund is going down, 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 down till zero in 2034. What is going to happen? I think most likely it's going to be a means testing situation. And if you have high assets, high earnings, you may be on target. But to find out, run that risk score, see if you are at risk, and maybe now take advantage of those catch-ups, because it may be on you to make up that loss of income if they do reduce Social Security benefits for a portion of our population. Secondly, we have incredible Social Security software analysis, and we can run that for our listeners here on AM 560. So if you are in a near-term retirement red zone and you are going to depend on Social Security for 20, 30, 40% of your retirement income, when you elect matters. Get it right. Get this comparison. Get this risk score free of charge to our listeners here on AM 560. And all you got to do is pick up that phone and start that momentum to head in the right direction.
800-930-5905 is all you need to get started. And as we continue through the list, downsizing or relocating, we've talked about this many times, and that's a tough spot for folks to be in if they've been in a house for 40, 50 years, whatever. It's a tough decision.
It is. I mean, think about that. You know, you raise the kids in this house, you've accumulated, I don't know if everyone else is like us, but so much stuff.
Stuff, yes.
You know, sometimes you just want to get a dumpster every year and just be like, all right, we got to do a cleansing. But it's a difficult conversation to have. You know, do we want to leave the area that we know so well? Maybe you do, maybe you don't. But if it's in your future and you want to downsize, number one, it's a tough market out there. It's a tough buyer's market out there. There's just not a lot of inventory. And, you know, we've heard different reasonings, you know, interest rates obvious are low, who wants to give up the mortgages, institutions have bought up all the supply. There's so many reasons out there, but the thing remains constant is real estate is just sticking solid. There's just not a lot of inventory out there, even for those that may want to downsize. So tread carefully with that. Get yourself a really good real estate agent that can help you really swarm around and figure out what's best. But downsizing can really help in most environments, give you less to have to worry about, you know, yard work, shoveling snow if you're up here north, you're getting the snow service, all those things, all those expenses that you are used to paying. Maybe you go down south and you're not paying those anymore and you want to be by the beach or you want to be by in the mountains, whatever it is, it could be a good situation, but it is a very difficult market right now. Now, I think when rates start to decline, we'll start seeing more and more people moving around that have been kind of holding fast, but with rates higher for longer for, you know, Lord knows how long, you know, it's just a really tough time to really see this have momentum with retirees looking to downsize. Is it out there? Of course it is. But it may be prudent to just sit tight and wait a little bit as long as you can comfortably afford the expenses in your existing home. I will tell you this, Steve, when interest rates start moving, those reverse mortgages will really start picking up. They are much more attractive in lower interest rate environments. And for clients that maybe didn't save and over age 50, it allows you to tap into that equity of your home. You get to live in it for the rest of your life. It can be a really good 1-2 punch to stay where you're at and create additional cash reserves to get you through those final years of retirement.
That's a conversation that, I mean, obviously we'd like to have if it makes sense. It doesn't,
yeah.
I know it's not for everybody, but you're very knowledgeable. So if you've got questions about that, Joe is right there for you. 800-930-5905.
Yeah, good point, Steve. And this is not something that I am licensed to do. We have really good connections. But I will tell you this. There's a lot of rumors about reverse mortgages, and rightly so, because the old reverse mortgages, they had some issues. And I'm not going to dive into the issues, but they're very highly regulated right now. In order to qualify for a reverse mortgage, Steve, you actually have to take a class. You have to do an hour-long class. It educates the homeowners so they know all the potential pros, but they also understand all the potential cons so they can make a good decision. Now, we'll absolutely help our clients with those pros and cons, but I am not licensed to do these. We just have some very good connections that do, but I think upcoming, when rates eventually do get cut, that is going to be a hot thing moving in the market.
All right, keep it in mind, folks. So we're going through this list. Healthcare costs front and center. Obviously, that's a conversation that needs to happen. And the thing is with the healthcare conversation, that's an evolving conversation, isn't it?
It is, but it's something that I think a lot of people just go with A and B and then pick out their prescription and think that I'm set. Everyone should have some type of healthcare strategy. You know your health, you know your family's longevity. You know what is going to be the best fit for you. Is it going to be one of those Advantage plans, which is going to give you lower premiums or zero premiums, but you have an out-of-pocket deductible? Is it going with the supplement, or in rare cases, maybe just going along with A and B and Part D? Everyone's going to be different, but I will tell you this. When Medicare, I think, was first established nearly 60 years ago, it was not designed to cover all of our expenses in full. As much as we want it to, that's not what it was designed to do. Back in 2010, the Patient Protection Act included provisions to reduce the out-of-pocket expenses that Medicare beneficiaries would face for prescription drugs. It did not eliminate them, though. So that is a big cost for a lot of retirees that we encounter, is the cost that Part D is not covering on their prescription drugs. It can be mind-boggling. We've seen clients paying $3,000, $4,000 a month for their life-saving medication, and it's not something you're going to consider budgeting for, but you want to have the best, most comprehensive coverage for your health going forward in retirement. You want to have a plan, Steve. This is no different than Social Security and income. You need that protection umbrella. Take the time and plan for your healthcare future.
And talk to Joe about an HSA and how that can really be a retirement savings tool.
Oh, the HSA is solid gold, my man, because you're going to experience. Think about this, Steve. You're retired. You got your Medicare A and B. You got your D. You think you're all set. And all of a sudden, your tooth starts hurting. And then you're like, All right, I got to go to the dentist. Maybe I have a cavity. Oh, no. You're going to be having a root canal. Now it's $1,000 out of pocket. And they find other stuff. Now all of a sudden, you're into them for $13,000 or whatever it is.
Yeah.
There are things that aren't covered. It's wise to understand your situation now, potential health hazards, and see what possible pitfalls you may hit financially that is not covered by Medicare. Those are the things that you really want to consider to make sure that you are protected from inadvertent or accident. An accident happens, something like that, or an extended hospital stay. We talked about people that went forward in retirement on that Fidelity study. Steve, it was a $300,000 out-of-pocket expense for just going forward with straight A and B. You want to have a plan, guys. If you are serious about getting a retirement plan together, healthcare must be included.
And one of the things, that this is going to be the last on this list, but it really is number one on the list in my mind, and that is debt reduction, getting rid of it as much as is humanly possible.
Yep, good debt and bad debt. Right now, a lot of people that were locked in those mortgages, three and a half, some even under three, that's good debt to have. You want to make sure you're making your mortgage payment, but I wouldn't toss any extra on there unless there's a special circumstance going on. Mm-hmm. We're talking about the double-digit credit card debt or medical debt. That stuff you need to attack. And by generation, Steve, just some real quick numbers. Credit card debt right now in this country is the highest it's ever been. We're sitting at $1.129 trillion, highest on record. How does it break down by generation? We're talking about 50 or older. Gen Z in Q3 of 2022 only had about $2,800 per consumer. By Q3 2023, they had about $3,200 in credit card debt. Yep. The millennials in Q3 2022, about $5,600 per consumer, now up to $6,500 per consumer. And here's where our sweet spot is, Gen X, and that's me too. Q3 2022, about $8,100 of credit card debt per consumer. Now we're sitting at Q3 2023, $9,123.
Oh my gosh.
So we are definitely ramping it up, and we're looking at consumer spending, and is a big catalyst to the market, Steve. But where are the consumers getting the dough? Is it from the credit cards? We don't know. We don't know yet. Have to trust on the Department of Labor statistics and see all that fluff out there. But we're going to find out sooner or later which way this is. Is this savings that is being depleted? Is this, you know, YOLO, as the kids say, you only live once, so let's get that whatever luxury item while the earth is still spinning around? We don't know, but spending is an issue.
Joe, let's get folks in.
We got it. So next 10 callers to the show, we have an offer that is going to spark your motivation to plan. Steve's going to give you a number in a minute, and when you call, you're going to be connected to our friendly reception, and they're going to schedule a 15-minute phone call with me. So maybe you guys have one question, a burning question, or maybe you want to take advantage of our complimentary review that's going to include, first, a Social Security election analysis on both benefit timing and the potential risk of benefit reductions in the future. We're also going to do an investment or portfolio review to help you target your holdings towards your time horizon, and we want to define the purpose of this account that it's going to hold for you in retirement. And then finally, guys, tax efficiency. The year 2026 is fast approaching, and time is now to plan. Tax strategies are important, guys. You want to get that efficiency so you are not giving that money to Uncle Sam. It's staying in your pocket and going to the things that you want it to go to. So we can only take 10 this week. Guys, pick up that phone, call that number. Steve's going to give it to you, and let's get you a brighter retirement future. Steve, fire away. Give our listeners that magic number to call.
You got it, 800-930-5905, 800-930-5905, 800-930-5905.
When we come back, we're going to dig into some low-risk investments that can help build retirement income for you. That and more right after this.
Welcome back. This is Wealth Health Radio. I'm Steve Siddall. Joe Murphy's here. Joe's been helping folks for more than 20 years and been on the radio now for, what, a couple of years at this point? We're coming up on that, I think.
Yeah, you know, my mom always told me, you know, when you get older, time's going to fly. I mean, she wasn't kidding. It's a blur. So I think it's been a couple years. You know, we have some awesome listeners. We've met so many people here on AM 560, Steve, some that became clients and some that didn't. But I love having the conversation. It really keeps me up to date with the temperature of what people are thinking, how people are feeling. I love the conversations. They're always interesting. I talk to so many different people. So it gives me a broad-based perspective. It gives me things to weigh in my mind. I love the conversation, so let's keep those coming. It's definitely fun for me, and hopefully you're going to walk away from that call more educated than before you dialed that number.
I like it. 800-930-5905. And just for the record, you started recording here. I know we connected shortly after that in September of 2021.
Oh, yeah. So we've been revving here, huh?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Veteran, old school, huh?
There you go. That's you now. Yeah.
Well, thanks to you.
Well, here's the thing. We're talking about having less risk. We're talking about low-risk investments. And not everything is low risk, but there are areas that can be played into, a lower risk and certainly some reward. Topping that list is real estate. And I know you're a fan.
Oh, I'm a huge fan. I'm a huge fan of diversifying your investments outside of stocks and bonds, because we want things that are considered non-correlated, which means they do not move in unison. Real estate is one of those such investments. So I love when our new clients come in and they're showing me their real estate holdings and their rental income. So I always like to go through pros and cons with people that may be considering real estate as an alternate investment to generate some extra income or use that income to buy more real estate. So, we talked to some of my wealthiest clients, Steve, in this firm are real estate investors. You know, it's they do. And a lot of them started just on the side. You know, they took a little bit of extra money. Now, remember, your upfront costs are probably going to be a little bit greater. So save. It's a tough market right now, but that doesn't mean it's going to be forever. But real estate in general, the pros are going to be, it's going to provide steady income. And, you know, rental income creates that dependable stream of income that is going to supplement retirement, which is fantastic, and it can be used to cover your expenses or even buy more real estate, as we talked about before. The building could appreciate, so you could be sitting on a gold mine. We've all seen different areas blow up. Maybe you have a couple rentals that is now the new hotty-totty neighborhood, and all of a sudden you're up 400%. That does happen, guys, and that's something that you would be able to take advantage of. Tax benefits, so mortgage interest, property taxes, certain maintenance expenses are all tax deductible. And then diversification. We talked about correlation. So all your stocks and bonds are moving in one direction. Real estate maybe not. And that's a good thing. So during up times in markets, maybe your real estate's holding. When the stock market's tanking, maybe your real estate is appreciating. That's what we want, is that diversification. It also gives you control. So that hands-on approach, you want to make improvements or you want to, you know, upgrade your interiors. These are all things that you get to do. So the cons. Let's talk about the cons. We talked about the pros, Steve. Illiquidity. It's not a quick thing. It's not like selling a stock or an ETF where you have the cash in your account in 3 days. It's not like that. It's hard to sell a house in a timely manner without taking a bath on your price. So we would consider it illiquid. High initial output cost. It takes money, whether you're taking out a loan or whether you're using your own cash to buy real estate. It is a big upfront cost. If you're not a handyman and you don't want to do the maintenance, you also have to hire a property management company. So those are things that you definitely want to consider. Oh, and the next one, and this is recent, is the squatter stuff. I don't know if you've been seeing the news.
Yes, it's bizarre.
I mean, I would be terrified if I was a real estate owner, a rental, and, you know, you think about this situation, just like, you know, thankfully, I don't know Indiana. I haven't looked because I don't own rental properties, but I haven't looked in Indiana to see what our laws are. I know Florida is very strict and they're like, yeah, that's not happening here, but not sure about Illinois. If any of our listeners could kind of fill me in on what they're doing with squatter laws in Illinois, I would be very grateful. So if you can give us a call, just give us the rundown, then I would be educated by you guys and that would be kind of fun.
Would be.
Yeah, so I think real estate can be a wonderful investment. A little bit tricky again in this environment, but again, the whole point of the game is to diversify, spread out those potential sources of investments and future income. Real estate is number one for me.
All right, 800-930-5905, and we're going to dig into some bond funds here. And I mean, again, the difference between, say, bond funds and a bond, maybe that's where we should start.
Yes, bond funds. Let's start about there. One of my favorite investments that probably starting in like 2021 is a bond ETF called TMV. It's a 3x leveraged ETF, but it's a bear bond ETF. And remember, bond ETFs and bond mutual funds are going to have price movement based on interest rates. Remember, bonds and interest rates move oppositely. So if interest rates are going up, bond prices are falling. So we've just seen that happen. Remember, back in 2020, interest rates were zero. So it was a nice, safe, easy bet to know that interest rates were probably only headed one way from zero, and that's up. And that upward interest rate movement is going to have a negative impact on those bond prices. So I love using the leveraged ETFs when we're pretty darn sure which way interest rates are going to go, because it gives you 3x the return. This is not investment advice, guys. This is just previous stuff that we've done. And if you look at a bond ETF, a core bond ETF that's very, very popular, AGG. So if you went in there at, say, like 2020, when interest rates were basically on the floor, and now interest rates are sitting 5.5. It's the reason why the 60-40 portfolio, Steve, got absolutely smoked the last couple years, because that 40% in the bond portion lost about 26% exposure to these bond mutual funds and bond ETFs. So their price, and think about it, Steve, if I'm buying a bond ETF and during a low interest rate environment, the price of that bond unit or bond share is going to be higher than when interest rates are higher. All those prices go down, it's less attractive. So now we're looking at bond ETFs and bond mutual funds that are at a lower price because interest rates are so high. These are all things that we do as investment advisors to take advantage of what we call the layups, the easy peasies. And interest rate fluctuations are the easy peasies. One of the things that you can avoid all this risk of price fluctuation with bonds is buying and holding a bond till maturity. So unlike exposing your money to a bond ETF or a bond mutual fund, which the price of that unit is going to vary with interest rates, inflation, it's going to go up and down. The bond, actual bond, holding it to maturity, you are going to, as long as you do it and there's no default, you are going to get that guaranteed yield. That's why people like holding them to maturity. But it does create illiquidity. This is not the environment to buy a 20-year bond and hold it. This is the time to use a laddering strategy. And we've incorporated that with our clients on both treasuries and municipal bonds. And we're using short-term treasuries. Remember about that inverted yield, Steve, where shorter-term bonds are paying higher than longer-term bonds? This is why we want to use a laddering strategy from 0 to 2 years on U.S. treasuries and municipal bonds, because it gives our clients the exposure and it mitigates that price fluctuation. We don't have to worry about it because we constantly have short-term bonds maturing to meet our clients' cash needs and also know the yield that we're going to get on each of those bonds held to maturity. It is a great way to do it. It's something to explore. If you're interested in a laddered strategy on bonds and you're thinking about bonds, this is a wonderful way to mitigate some of those risks that go with the bond ETFs and bond mutual funds. And you don't have to lock your money up for 5 years, 10 years, holding a long-term bond till maturity. You can use a laddering strategy to give you the best of both worlds.
Now, you mentioned something, and we're going to dig into it a little bit, about municipal bonds and how they differ from other bonds.
Oh, municipal bonds are one of my favorite, especially for our higher income earners. And the one big difference about municipal bonds is they are going to be federally tax exempt, and they will also be free of state and local taxes if you buy the right type of bond, depending on the state that you live in. So, yeah, we will dig into those muni bonds here in a little bit, but I also want to talk about high yield savings, because those are very, very popular. And then
right,
I promise
now,
we'll
get
to,
because there's actually not bad interest.
No, it's very, very attractive. But we still see, Steve, out there, and maybe, you know, our listeners driving down the street, keep your hands on the wheel, but you can nod if it's you. You may be still sitting in a savings account that is maybe earning, you know, an APY 0.46. Maybe your bank doesn't have access to high yield savings. Guys, just remember that cash that is sitting there is losing purchasing power as the cost of everything around us continues to move up, up, up. You need to be earning on that. It's the same as burying it in the yard. You know, if you buried it, you know, 30 years ago, you pull up your $100 that you buried, it's not going to buy the same basket of goods and services that it did that time. Now, today, you lose value because costs continue to go up. These costs may slow, the increasing costs may slow, but these prices are not coming back down where they were 10 years ago or 15 years ago. You want to have your cash working for you. And that's why the high yield savings are very popular right now, in addition to money markets and short-term T-bills. These are extremely popular because the attractive return. I've seen high yield savings, Steve, as high as 5.5%. That's doing nothing. Your money's just sitting there working for you. You want to look at those dollars as your little soldiers, get them all to work for you. And any of them that aren't pulling their weight, move them to a new camp and get them working for you. So if your bank does not have a high yield savings account, you want to get your money exposed to a better interest rate.
Folks, and in the process, give Joe a call. And if you've got questions, he can hammer it all out for you and make it clear.
Yeah, absolutely. We can only do 10, guys, 10 this week. So next 10 callers to the show, we have an offer that is going to let you focus on solutions, not just the problems. We all worry about the things that are around us. This is your time to start analyzing the solutions. Steve's going to give you a number in a minute when you call, and you're going to be connected to our friendly reception, and they're going to schedule a 15-minute call with me. So maybe you have one question that you want to take advantage of, some information, or maybe you want to get that complimentary review. That's going to include a Social Security election analysis on both benefit timing and the potential risk of benefit reductions in 2034. We're also going to do an investment or portfolio review to help you target your holdings towards your time horizon and your goals. And then finally, guys, tax efficiency. The year 2026 is coming up quick, and the time to plan is now. You guys don't want to miss this. Take advantage of this. We're only doing 10. Steve, give our listeners a magic number to call.
800-930-5905. There's no cost, no obligation. So call us, 800-930-5905. That's 800-930-5905.
When we come back, we're going to continue to dig into some low-risk investments that can help you build retirement income, that and more right after this.
We are back on Wealth Health Radio. I'm Steve Siddall. Joe Murphy's here having a good conversation. Joe, the connection that you have with folks is pretty amazing. And you always talk about the good folks and the people that come through the door. And that's just got to be a positive experience for all involved.
You know, Steve, I'm a people person. I love, I do talk a lot, and I always prompt my clients is, yes, I do talk, but believe it or not, I do listen. I want to absorb. The only way that we can solve problems accurately is to understand the situation. And for me, that's how you get to know people. You know, that's how you get to know their fears or what's driving them or what the issue is and why. So having those conversations, real world, instead of typing on the computer and doing email and text messaging, I want to have that conversation, Steve. It's so important as a family-owned firm for us to have that relationship. And the only way that you can have that relationship in my book is to have that level of communication. So we love that part of this business, and I hope that never goes away. And if that does go away, I'm going to really be upset.
Exactly. So we've been talking about, you know, again, safer investments or low-risk or lower-risk investments.
Yep.
Municipal bonds, we're going to touch on that. But you decided, I mean, this is just going to be a sort of a bond discussion, which can be a very confusing thing for folks. Certainly it was for me until I started listening to you.
Well, yeah, and I think bonds have a lot of terminology and there's a lot of moving parts with them. So it kind of, you see the eyes glaze over. So I'm going to do my best to do our basic bond breakdown. But yeah, let's definitely hit on the munis, because munis with interest rates this high are becoming more and more attractive, especially to our higher income earners because of their tax exempt status. So remember, the yields are going to be a little bit lower than if you would buy a treasury, but you're not paying taxes on it. And you can do a very quick calculation called a tax equivalent yield based on your AGI, which is going to be best for your situation. Buying a traditional U.S. Treasury that's only taxable on the federal level, or looking at a bond, a municipal bond, that is federally tax exempt. And again, if we can diversify and buy them in the right state, we can get the state and local taxes basically removed completely. So you're looking at a tax-free return. It is fantastic. However, some of the cons of municipal bonds do need to be considered. And I'll talk about some of the yeehaw, but I want to hit the cons on munis because I think they're very important. Remember, if interest rates continue to spike, these bond prices are not immune to falling. So you have to be very careful if you buy a municipal bond that you can sock that money away, that you're not going to need to touch it. Because as long as you hold that to maturity and there is no default on that project or with that organization, you are going to get that return. That is the big thing. So you have to make sure you have a judgment call. Can I put this money away? And if the answer is no, you know what, I'm not sure, that's where you want to look at a laddering strategy to give you that liquidity when you need it. The second thing is they're not very inflation friendly. Inflation is going to be another effect on that bond price. So if you do have to exit prior to maturity, it could have an impact on what you get back out. It's going to lower that bond price. There's still a chance of default. You have to be very careful with what states that you buy these bonds in. We have some states that we will not buy bonds in because we don't feel that they are sufficiently funded. So we are very selective with the project bonds, the GO bonds that we buy. But I love the laddering strategy because it gives that diversification and minimizes that risk. And the final risk or con is the illiquidity that we discussed. You know, you have to remember, is this cash that you can hold to maturity? And if not, we have another solution. But it's something that a lot of people don't consider. They see that tax-free yield. They're like, oh, yes, that's for me. And they don't realize that, you know, it's a one-year hold period. That is very important to make sure that you get right. But they are fantastic for tax efficiency, high-income earners. This is basically on a non-qualified or after-tax account. We want to sprinkle those munis in there and get Uncle Sam out of the picture on some of that interest earned.
Of course.
The big thing with munis is I love, again, the laddering strategy, because all those risks that we talked about, the price fluctuation, the volatility, the exposure to interest rate fluctuations, we can really mitigate a lot of that by buying multiple bonds with multiple maturities. So we constantly have bonds maturing, meet our clients' near-term cash needs, but also in a rising interest rate environment or interest rate that is not going to get cut, these bonds become more and more and more attractive. So laddering has been hot, and I think will probably continue to be hot to get our clients exposed to the highest yields possible on those bonds. So munis are a biggie, and if you have questions on municipal bonds or if treasuries are right for you, you might need a blend. These are all things that we do. So if you have questions on municipal bonds, treasuries, call our show. We will absolutely educate you and show you which one's going to be better for you. And it's a simple calculation. We show you the math, and then you can make the ultimate decision.
Joe, where do structured notes fit in?
Oh, not a fan. Not a fan of structured notes, no. Structured notes are issued by banks. We've seen a lot of them. They have a holding period, almost like an annuity, Steve. So It has like a 3-year holding period, and some of them are buffered notes where you get exposed to markets ups and downs, but if you go down more than 25%, you could have the loss. There's a very wide range of structured notes. I am not a fan of anything that creates that type of illiquidity on our clients' hard-earned savings. So for me, the expense, the time holding period, I'm not a fan. I'm sure there's cases that those things fit, but we don't use those ever, especially being not a bank.
Right. So can I ask you a question about the first segment that we were talking about? Because we were talking about real estate. And, I know there's REITs, the Real Estate Investment Trust, and that can be okay. And then I started reading about 1031 exchange and how that can be really beneficial.
Oh, 1031 exchange is extreme. It's one of the best tax strategies that real estate owners can use, because think about it. If you sell an investment property, you are going to get walloped. You don't get that beautiful exemption up to $500,000 on your primary home sale. Guess what you get? You get taxed. So in order, if maybe you're saying, you know what, I can't afford to sell this right now tax-wise, so you can 1031 into another property, basically avoid taxation on that 1031 exchange. And some people will hop from property to property and they can defer taxes all the way through their life. It's a wonderful thing to do. 1031s, DSTs are another spinoff of 1031s. If you don't want the muss and fuss of having to do with maintenance or collecting rental income, you can invest in basically like a pooled commercial DST, which allows you to avoid the taxation and invest in commercial real estate properties, get exposed to a little bit of the appreciation, but more importantly, create some income and avoid Uncle Sam. It's all about avoiding Uncle Sam, Steve, in retirement, if we can all help it.
Yeah. So what does DST stand for?
DST stands for Delaware Statutory Trust.
Yeah, and obviously you're knowledgeable of that as well. And so the 1031 exchange, that I read, one of the pieces that I read, it was talking about a like-for-like exchange. Does that make sense?
Yeah, like exchange. That is the classification or characterization of a true 1031 exchange. So, which means that you have to go from a like property of equal or lesser value to qualify for that 1031. Remember, 1031s, DSTs, these things you want to employ someone that knows what they are doing with these things. You don't want to make a mistake on these. This is definitely not something I would encourage our do-it-yourselfers to go dive into this. You want to have a professional. And you can start with our firm. We have many different 1031 exchange places. We have many different DST organizations that we can refer you out to. So if you are looking to minimize your taxation and you want to get out of some location and some different properties or just spread out to different states, whatever you want to accomplish, we can get you going in the right direction. But I don't sell these. I'm not licensed to sell these, but they are a wonderful tool for tax efficiency. And if it's tax efficiency, Steve, I am interested in it.
You bet you. Well, I know you are. 800-930-5905 is the number. So what are your thoughts on the market this week, if I might ask?
Well, we are steaming up, which has been fantastic. We were, I was watching the market the last couple of weeks. We would start up ripping and roaring pre-market, and then it would dwindle down. I think this is a big week, earnings. We'll probably have a better, by the time this show airs, we'll have a better picture on some of the tech earnings that are coming back in. Okay. One of the most interesting announcements that I saw this week, Steve, is the New York Stock Exchange is going to be doing a trial, or hopefully close to a trial, of 24-hour trading on equities. Can you imagine, like, cryptocurrencies? So yeah, that's going to be an interesting thing to see what type of catalyst that's going to be on the market. You know, money's pouring in. Holdings right now are at all-time highs. People are fired up. The market's been ripping. I don't know what's going to happen next. We're looking at a very difficult situation to gauge because our economy is running lights out. We have easy monetary conditions by our Fed, but inflation is not slowing. So we're looking at a mirroring of different times, but not everything's lining up. So right now, we're full steam ahead and will continue to be. But the one thing is be careful the stocks that you own. You know, you want to own good companies. You don't want to own companies in this type of environment with a higher interest rate that operate on debt. You want good cash flow. You want to look at that balance sheet. You want to look at that income statement and make sure it's sound. Some of the best quality stocks to own are going to be the blue chips. You can create dividend income off that. But just be very careful, you know, searching for value in this market because things, as we have seen in the past, can turn on a dime. So make sure you are diversified. Make sure the money that you have wide open is going to be allocated towards things that have a little bit of a chance to stand tall if things start headed south.
Let's put a wrap on this show and invite folks to call. We've still got some spots available.
Absolutely, guys. And we're going to do this one final time for this week. So next 10 callers into the show, we have an offer that we talked about before is going to knock your socks off. Steve's going to give you a number in a minute. And when you call, you're going to be connected to our friendly reception. They are very, very nice. And they're going to schedule you a 15-minute phone call with me. So maybe you guys have one question, or maybe you want to take advantage of our complimentary review. That's going to include a Social Security election analysis on both benefit timing and also the potential risk of Social Security reductions in the future. Are you at risk? Guys, I cannot tell you how important that is. Get your risk score. We're also going to do an investment portfolio review, which will help target your holdings towards your time horizon, your risk tolerance, and your goals. And then finally, guys, tax efficiency. We talk about it. It is so important, and the year 2026 is coming up. So tax efficiency for you now, tax efficiency for your legacy. The time is ticking. Get a tax-efficient plan now, and we can talk to you about just that. So we can only take 10 this week. Steve, give our listeners that magic call, and we're going to get to work.
800-930-5905. It truly is an excellent chance for you to get a true, practical financial review. There's no cost. There's no obligation. You heard Joe. 10 callers right now, 800-930-5905. 800-930-5905. 800-930-5905. Joe, as always, favorite hour of the week. Bar none, this is just such a good show, and I always learn a lot.
I love the back and forth, Steve, and I always buckle up for this show, and hopefully our listeners got a little bit of something out of this, and we look forward to talking to you guys, so can't wait to talk next week with you guys. Everyone, have an awesome week, and hopefully this market keeps ripping, guys. Talk soon.
The content of this radio show is provided for informational purposes only and should not be considered investment advice or a recommendation to buy or sell any type of securities. Joe Murphy, MWM Advisory Group, and Murphy Wealth Management are not responsible for the consequences of any decisions or actions taken as a result of the information provided in this radio show and do not warrant or guarantee the accuracy or completeness of the information provided. The information discussed today reflects the views of Joe Murphy and his guests as the date of this show and are subject to change without notice. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. Any forward-looking statements or forecasts are based on the assumptions and actual results may vary from such statements or forecasts. No reliance should be placed on any statements or forecasts when making any investment decision. Accordingly, listeners should not rely solely on the information provided today in making any investment decision. There is a risk of loss from investing in securities, including the risk of loss of principal. Different types of investments involve varying degrees of risk, and there can be no assurance that any specific investment will be profitable or suitable for a particular investor's financial situation or risk tolerance. Asset allocation and portfolio diversification cannot assure or guarantee better performance and cannot eliminate the risk of investment losses.